Guys, thanks again for being here. It's an encouragement to see so many guys come out on Saturday for a prayer breakfast, and I think it's important for us to do things like this as men of the church. You know, the strength of the church is the family. The strength of the family is the man, and that's just the way it is. Sorry, ladies, if you're out there listening. But God's design. So we want to just encourage each other in the Lord, encourage each other in the Word of God and in prayer. And so I'm glad we could come together this morning to do this. We will, in October, we're planning another men's conference like we had last year. We'll do a Friday night and a Saturday again. Okay, so we're looking forward to that. In October, I'll give you more information about that as we tighten that up. But I'd like to occasionally, from time to time, very simple, just get together for a little while and encourage one another. Okay, so I've asked my good friend Pete Farrell to come and give a charge to us. Pete is very active at First Bible Baptist Church. I know he's one of the head trustees there on the deacon board. And I've been able to watch him since he got saved, watch him grow, and he's very involved in the Tuesday night men's prayer meeting. He's been for a long time involved in the prayer meeting at First Bible. I know he has a heart for that. He has a heart for men. He has a heart for families. And the reason, honestly, the reason I think of him to ask him to come is because he's passionate about the Word of God. And that's really, I'm all in if that's you, you know. So then, and that I know is Pete. So Pete, wants you to come up and give us what you have today from God's Word. And thank you for being here.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. We're going to be in 1 Peter. I'll try to. Every time I get up, my heart starts beating. Man, it doesn't get old. Lord, the Lord just preparing your heart to preach the Word of God. I am a big fan of men's prayer meetings in every aspect of them. We have two a week that we've been going to for years. And the men's prayer meeting has been a huge part of my growth. The men who discipled me are there every Tuesday night for the last, around 2003, I think. It's been, and I've missed less than 10 of those because I was either out of town or family emergency. So it's been a huge part of my walk. And so I appreciate the fact that you invited me here to give a charge at this. So 1 Peter, let's read this, and then the Lord will settle my nerves. Verse 3, 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now we see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Pray with me. Father, we love the Word of God. We love that you have preserved it for us, that we have it, we can read it, we can understand it by the presence of your Holy Spirit. And we just ask that you would prepare our hearts to pray. Lord, that's why we're here. We want to spend some time in prayer to you, Lord, prayer with you. And I pray, God, that you just prepare our hearts, that some of the beautiful, miraculous things in this passage would just jump out at us individually, and that you would have your way. Spirit of God, please have your way in us and through us, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, you're just going to break this down real quick. I'll keep track of time so we can get to praying. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter here, blessed, just taking a moment, as we get ready to pray, take a moment and just think of who God is. Who he is. He is the God of the universe who created everything. And praise should only go to him. Only go to God the Father, to God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Praise, blessed be this God. Only he should get glory. And he talks about the abundant mercy. You think of that abundant mercy, man. Just pause for a moment and think of the mercy that has been granted you as a child of God. You have deserved, you and I deserved to be destroyed in hell. But that's not for us. His abundant mercy, he saved us. You just pause for a minute and thank you. Like thanksgiving should just flow out of us. When we just think and pause, when we read the word of God and it says, according to the abundant mercy, he hath what? Begotten us again. You are born again. Born again by God. And we're new creatures in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians tells us we're new creatures. All that old stuff, the weights of should completely be removed. We are born again. And let's just pause. Because of his abundant mercy, he has begotten us again unto this lively hope. And it just pause as he starts out this chapter, as he starts out this epistle, he just says, man, I'm born again. I'm not that slug that I used to be. I'm not that person that had no idea where I was going, had no idea what my purpose in life was. I had this walk with Jesus. I knew him when he was alive, and then after he resurrected, and now I'm completely different. I have been born again. And then he goes on to speak of this inheritance. You think of the inheritance. An inheritance, a gift. A gift that we've been given. A gift that, you think of, God owns everything. God owns everything that we know that exists. He owns it. And it's salvation, and now what? We are joint heirs with Christ, the Bible teaches us, Romans 8. We are joint heirs with Christ. Everything that God has and has given to the Son, everything that he owns, that is a part of the inheritance, as joint heirs with Christ. We just think about those, the things as we look forward. As we should be looking forward into what God has called us, looking upon his appearing, waiting for him to come back, for that incorruptible, as it says, incorruptible inheritance. It cannot be corrupted by anyone or anything. You know, the inheritance for us is not subject to sin, the decay, entropy, that everything that we know is dying. My wife is dealing with this right now. Her uncle died. Now her grandfather died. Everybody important to her in her life, everybody that's near and dear to her as far as familial, is dead. The decay of sin. They're leaving faster than we can handle it, really. But that's the because of sin, that decay. The inheritance that we have been given, or going to inherit, is incorruptible. We have no idea what that's like. You know, you pause and look at this and you think about it. We have no idea the beauty of God. No, we see it. We see glimpses of it. But we see something that's decaying. It's undefiled. You know, you think of just our place with God. Undefiled. The holiness of this inheritance, the holiness of God, and how so many times we get confused about holiness. You know, the holiness versus happiness versus the struggle that rages within us, that God calls us to be holy, not to be happy. Happiness is almost the way we define it, especially I believe here in America, is so corrupt in its selfishness. Happiness is about how good my life is for my body and my well-being. I ought not to suffer any trials, tribulations, or problems. I should be happy. That's not what God is most is concerned about. God's most concerned about the holiness, the how we're to be undefiled. That word undefiled. You know, there's a prayer for my children, and I pray for a lot of men's grandchildren because a lot of men I pray with all have grandchildren now. So I find myself praying for theirs and just that they would be. I know it's so hard to be undefiled. But we pray that to that end for our kids and grandkids, that they really would be undefiled. That for the vast majority of the craziness that surrounds them in this world, that they would choose the right path and not be undefiled. That word, just to bring that, I think of my kids every time I read that word in the scriptures, undefiled. If my kids could be undefiled. And you think of this when it speaks there in verse 4, it fadeth not away. It fadeth not away. And you're reminded of God keeps his promises. He is faithful. None of the things that he describes, that he promises us, our future, that not only the future inheritance with him, but our salvation and the life that we live today, now, every promise that he has made, he's a covenant-keeping God. His promises are his promises, period. Guaranteed. You think of that. You think of the hope that we have. You read the Word of God, and sometimes you wonder, how is that going to play out? Or maybe some doubts get in there. Well, is this really? It's of God. It's God's book. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. The promises in there are perfect and pure, and you might not understand or like some of it, but it's undefiled. And it fadeth not away, and it will come to pass. He says, reserved in heaven. I said, reserved in heaven. Think about the presence of God. Think about being in the presence of God. It's sobering. You think of the judgment seat when you stand before God, eyeball to eyeball, as some men say, and you're going to give an account for every moment since the moment you got saved until the moment you see him. You're going to give an account. That's sobering. But at the same time, the perfect, pure, undefiled, no sin, no decay of sin, the presence of God and what that's going to be, that is your inheritance. That is what we look forward to. This life is but a vapor, right? Turn over to Revelation chapter 20. He says, this is reserved for you and for me. God has reserved that incorruptible, undefiled inheritance for you. I'm just trying to set up perspective as we go to the throne here today. Revelation 20, in verse 11. Let me get there. Revelation 20, verse 11. Let's just think about this for a moment and some perspective on our walk here with Jesus, our walk from now until the day we see Jesus. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You and I as born-again believers, the beautiful side of that, that you can't help but understand and appreciate, is that that's not for us. The other side of it, it is for some. For the vast majority of human beings who have ever lived, it's for. What are we called to do? Just, we can go, that's a whole other message, right? A series of messages taught year-round on how we're to evangelize the lost. But think of that, just put it in perspective of as we think about our lives. As we think about, we're going to pray, and I don't know what's on the agenda for your church and what the focus of prayer will be, but at the very least, it's got to be a thankfulness and appreciation for what God has done, but also an understanding of what it is that our duty is until He returns. To live our lives at the very least so we're not a stumbling block. And to go further and obey the commandments of God and go out there and do something for those who may be alive today that will go into eternity not found written in the book of life. You think about that and it's sobering. I don't know about you, when you read about the judgment that we are going to face as believers, you read about the judgment that God has for those who reject Him, and you just pause and think, well, you know, back in 1 Peter, he says, in verse 5, he says, kept by the power of God. You ever pause and think of it? The fact that you're kept by the power of God? That you don't have to wonder whether you're in and out of the book of life? You are kept. This incorruptible, undefiled inheritance that is promised you, the life that you can live for Him right now, you are kept. This is a confident hope. Nothing can separate us. Nothing can separate us. He is our Father. He is going to take care of business. Now, the next thing that we read there is about the trial of our faith. And as I think about just my walk and everything that goes on around me, the trial of our faith, it's so easy. Preaching the beauty of Jesus and the relationship with Him and all of that, but then life hits, right? You gotta live life. And then trials come and they begin to overwhelm you. And we don't understand exactly why. We just got done reading the book of Job. And through the Bible reading in a year, you're just overwhelmed by the reality of what that teaches us about God and the trials that come. It's part of our life. And it's trying. It can be incredibly trying. Turn to 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4. If you're dealing with trials this morning, you're dealing with something that you're struggling with, and you're asking God, man, what is going on? I don't understand all of this. I'm not sure why this is happening to me. Look at verse 12. 1 Peter 4:12. He says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. The fiery trials which come when you're serving the Lord, and the trials and the craziness, and you're asking the questions, why? He says, think it not strange. you're to rejoice in that you're serving the Lord, and the things that come to pass have gone through my hands, God says. Nothing happens to you, man, that God doesn't know about, hasn't allowed. That doesn't make any sense. God is God. God absolutely allows these things to come. And it's so easy to say this, but to really get this, it's a matter of just fervently seeking His voice to tell you, to comfort you, to guide you, to look in the mirror. You know, some of the trials we bring on ourselves, right? We look in the mirror individually. And some of us, you know, we think of in biblical sense, a lot of these guys face martyrdom as their trial, right? You know, I don't know if you and I will face martyrdom as a trial before we die. But for me, my trials are living for Jesus in the midst of this crazy world that we live in. The trials that come living for Jesus and to every day doing what God has called me to do. You know why I find prayer meetings so absolutely necessary to my life? It's because it's a moment of revival in my life every time I attend. If there's a prayer meeting and I go with another believer and we just chat and hang out for a little bit and then pray to God, it's a moment of revival in my life that I desperately need. Because the trials come every single day of our lives. The fiery trials come. And why are we doing what we do? Are we zealous for the things of God? Dave Panessa gave a charge the other night on being zealous for God. And he was sitting down. We were at the sports park. He's sitting in a chair, and as fired up as Dave gets, he was preaching on being zealous for God. And he scripture after scripture after scripture. And he just sat there going, I'm sorry for being just lukewarm. And I mean, like, you open the Bible and it's time to serve the Lord, and there's a prayer meeting at 5:30 in the morning, and it's time to love your wife like Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, and then you got to correct your son, you got to correct your son, and to make sure you know, everything becomes, my wife says I got to remove some certain words from my vocabulary. I almost slipped one out. But these things are just awful, you know. What are we doing? That ought not to be the child of God. We have an inheritance. We have been begotten again, as it says here. We've been born again. We have an undefiled, incorruptible inheritance that God guarantees, that fadeth not away. He tells us in this passage, as you go down in 1 Peter, to be ye holy, for I am holy. Ever since I got saved, those words just... it's so weighty to me. The weight of that statement. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And I was reminded, you know, reading through Psalms, and I was reminded, the psalmist says, remember how short my time is. He says, remember how short my time is. He also says, his days are as a shadow that passeth away. And now the very familiar verse, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. James 4:14. We have eternal prompt. This is the battle that rages within us. And I jump all over the place. That's just how I am. Hopefully the Lord can work this out and encourage you. We have eternal promises. These promises that Peter is just praising the Lord for, being born again and the incorruptible assurance of his salvation, the inheritance that he's guaranteed. We have all of these eternal promises. And then we deal with our temporal temptations. Every temptation you deal with is for a moment of pleasure that is just... What are we doing, right? So we just pause as we start to begin to just go to the throne and think of the salvation of our souls, that we are born again, begotten again unto this lively hope, an inheritance, joint heirs with Christ. We're kept by his power. by his mercy he has saved us. You think of just how incredible that is. You know, when I first got saved, I remember just the scales. This is how I just the scales came off. And I didn't see beauty everywhere. I saw sin everywhere. Like I suddenly realized that every surrounding thing in my life was sinful. And that whole like experience of just wanting to be holy and that whole sanctification process. And then at some point, all of that stuff became just mundane, living my life kind of. If I could charge you guys with one thing, your life with Christ ought to be at the how thankful and filled with joy should a man be who is not going to face the great white throne judgment, who does not have to sin in this life, who has an incorruptible inheritance waiting for him with the creator of the universe. That joy that should fill our hearts. You know, and I was reading in James chapter 4 too. He says, you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. I ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. I don't want to be guilty of any of that. I have little time to waste in my life. And you guys have little time to waste in your life. Our prayer, our Bible time, our time alone with Jesus in the Bible, our worship and our service, it should be on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ in every way. So as we approach prayer, because prayer can be one of those things where it can be a lot of bad things because we go about it the wrong way. I was talking to one man who used to come to a prayer meeting. He said, you know, I got really weird. Everybody was like competing in prayer. Who could quote the most scripture? Now, this was his perspective. I don't know the hearts of the men. He's like, it got weird, and then this was happening, that was happening. Simplicity and godly sincerity. You're talking to God. He wants us to have a clean heart, creating us a clean heart. And he wants us to be transparent and open and come to him with thankful hearts and just ask. That's as simple as it gets. And what he'll do with that, you know, it just amazes me what he will do with men who just simply get sincere with God. So as we reminded again that we are born again, we have all of, we have everything. Pastor, you and I have everything we need to live holy in Christ Jesus. Everything. There is no reason whatsoever for us not to be thankful and living holy for Christ Jesus. None. Father God, we love you. Lord, I just pray, God, that your spirit would make sense of the things uttered here this morning. Lord, I want to worship you with my whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. I think we all do here this morning. So as we go to pray, I pray that you would teach us to pray. I pray that our hearts would be reverent and transparent and open to what your spirit would have, and that much work would get accomplished through this, that we would hear from you, that you would hear from us, and that, Lord, that you would just be so pleased with everything done here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pete. Appreciate that. All right. Well, guys, the scripture says we'll enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. After that charge, right? And his courts with praise. So that's what we want to do. You can break up twos, threes, fours, whatever you want to do. Nothing. There's no right way. There's no wrong way. All right. If you want to pray by yourself, you can pray by yourself. Whatever you want to do. But you can pray for one another if you guys have requests within your group. So let's pray for each other as men, as leaders, as dads, as grandpas, as husbands, all right, all those things, okay? And pray for our church, obviously, okay? We just want to pray that God continues to do what he wants here. And you know, obviously with growth comes challenges, and I'm just gonna selfishly ask you, and I know many of you do, to pray for me. All right, pray for your pastor. I cannot express enough to you how important that is. Okay, so I just want you to make sure that we've got the church God has given us covered, and because He's given me the responsibility to pastor it, that's why I would ask you for that. Okay, so all right, so we'll do that, and then this next item is not important or spiritual, but it has to do with if anyone can help afterward. I mentioned the other night, this stuff, the facility stuff, is my least favorite thing to do here. I'm to be honest with you, but I was talking to another pastor this week and said, guess what? Small churches, you know, the buck stops right here. I'm not a businessman. I'm not a facilities manager. I'm not anything. I'm just a shepherd. But the buck stops here. You know what they tell me now? We got to hound these. We got to get these rocks that are bigger, you know, big as a hand, big as a softball, or bigger. We got to get those out of there so we can bring in a machine called a rock hounder that will bring up the smaller ones. And then we can bring in fill dirt, clean fill, and then we can, okay. That, I don't want to quench what Peter said. I'm just saying, if you can help after, fine. If you can't, that's fine. I didn't ask you here today to help with rocks. I asked you here today to come and pray. If you got to leave, I have no problem with that at all. So, but just keep things in prayer. The ministry here includes, and I don't want to get into what Jesus said, labor not for the meat that perisheth. I don't want to get into grass and dirt and rocks, you know what I mean? But it's a necessary part at the same time. Okay, so, but we do want to pray. Pray for souls to be saved in this place. Pray for people to be obedient to discipleship, that they would be mentored. We have more and more of that going on behind the scenes here. People meeting one-on-one, couple-to-couple, going through discipleship lessons and mentoring, and that's the growth of the church. We need to continue to do more of that, okay? And just, you know, just praying for the strength of our families, as I said, that we could be stronger leaders, we can be stronger families, we can be a stronger church, and that God would have his way, and I want to pray for Bob today. Bob Hemrick is going to do something that is not easy to do. I've done it many times. He's going to go track and witness at the Gay Pride Parade today. And there will be a lot of other Christians and pastors there. Pray for their safety, protection, that the gospel will go out unhindered, and that people will come to Christ. All right, so that's what we wanted. We want to do. Anything else, Bob, for that? Or okay. Yep. Yep. It is tough. It is tough. Tough place to go. Understood. Yep. That is intense. I'm going to tell you, that is intense spiritual warfare that goes on there. There's no doubt about that. So, Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, help us as we get to pray. I pray, God, that you'd let us be mindful of the things we've heard just this morning, Lord, from your word. And Lord, how much we have, how much we really have from you. How thankful we ought to be. How precious we have of, Lord, just our faith and eternal riches. Lord, help us today as we are sons and fathers, and we are brothers, and Lord, we're spouses, husbands. Help us in all these roles. Strengthen us, we pray. And Lord, may you have your way here in this church with our men. And I pray, I thank you for Pete bringing the charge from the Word of God today. I pray for Bob as he goes out, Lord. Keep a hedge about him, I pray. All the pastors, preachers, churches represented, Lord, watch over them. We pray that the gospel would go unhindered. Pray for souls to be saved, Lord, lives to be changed, conversions for you. We thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen.